Take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to begin at verse 43. For a good tree, say good tree with me,
good tree,
does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of his heart the mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. There are some spiritual, godly principles that I want to talk to you about, and I want to talk to you about the character of that godly person, and I want to talk to you about the character of the wicked. Now, I know to call someone evil or wicked is not politically correct. So Jesus is describing the wicked and the good. He describes a good person as the one who hears the word and does it. He describes the evil or wicked person as one who hears the word and ignores it. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love the good and the wicked. It just means there are two categories. And when you look at this, he talks about the character of that good man will produce good fruit. He will produce things that edify. He will say things that build up. He will talk about things that help. And his life will be based on the word of God. I want you to understand that. I hear a lot of people say, well, that person was good. In what way? Because if the foundation of the goodness is not Jesus Christ, then God does not consider that person good. You may give all your things away. You may do all kinds of charitable things. You may load up a bunch of Operation Christmas Child boxes. You may donate a lot of money to Angel Tree. You may be in church every Sunday. You may be doing everything that the world would look at and say, well, that person is good. But the only one who matters that says that you're good is God. And so as we look at this, we need to come to an understanding that good deeds apart from Christ in the eyes of God doesn't make me good. In fact is, I'm going to tell you something, and you might not like this, but your good works have no bearing with God until your spiritual being is righteous. Because all your good works do until you know Jesus and our living for Jesus is compared with Christ's righteousness, and nothing compares. And so Jesus is trying to make a point. And he's making the point there are two kinds of people. There's good people in the eyes of God, and there's evil people in the eyes of God. Now understand this. The evil person is the one who doesn't pay attention to the word of God and doesn't do it. The good person is the one who hears the word of God and lives it and walks it and does it. The other side of that coin is, it doesn't really matter what you consider yourself to be. How many have ever rationalized anything? How many ever made a choice that was wrong, but you could rationalize it out so it became right in your mind and you could do it? Hello? Are we alive? I know there's a hard way to start and you're ready to go, and I can pronounce a benediction and head for Sioux Falls, but I'm not going to yet. But it's amazing how we come to justify ourselves, justify our actions, justify our words, justify not obeying the word of God, justify not going to work. How many ever called in work and told a lie? Kirk. And so we think, well, you know, I got a sick day, but I'm not really sick. I'm going to call in sick anyway. I got this these days I need. Come on, that's lying. If you're not sick, just call in and say, I'm not coming to this stupid job today. I'll see you tomorrow. Come on, that'll sink in. At least you're not lying. You'll share an opinion, what do you think about your job. You may go to work tomorrow and you may get that day off too, and many more along with it. But we come to a place where we need to understand that our life in Christ is based on being obedient to the things God has said. We'll never get ahead. We'll never grow. We'll never come to a place of spiritual maturity until we take this word of God literally and say, when Jesus spoke that, he was talking to me. You know, we're watching Wade grow, but if he would come in on Wednesday night and say, I don't need this anymore. I can do this without the word. I can go back to what I was. I can live my life any way I want. Or if I did it or anybody did it, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so Jesus said, a good tree bears good fruit. An evil tree or a bad tree bears evil fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, God doesn't grade on 80 or 90 or 50 or 60%, and, you know, 60% is passing and anything under that is failed. God doesn't do that. God just looks at the word and says, either you're obeying it or you're not. So here we go. He says this then, and as I was praying this week and just kneeling here at the altar and wondering, Lord, what do you have for me? And I read this, and I kept on reading in Mark or in Matthew and Luke, and all of a sudden it came back. And when things keep coming back, and yesterday morning when I come to church, kneel down to pray, it came back again. I said, okay, I think I can get the message. I think I hear what you're wanting me to say. But he says this, whoever comes to me and here's my saying in verse 47, and does them, I will show you whom he is like. So God is saying, whoever comes to me, hears my word, and walks my word out, I'm going to show you who he is like. And then he goes on to say, he is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the wind blew against the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. I watched Hal Lindsey last night for a while. Anybody know who Hal is? Doesn't know who Hal Lindsey is? And I was listening to him talk about political correctness. I was just kind of listening, and he was talking about the fact that our country had become so politically correct we can't call people who do evil, evil. We can't call people who sin, call them sinners, basically is what he's saying. He's saying we can't come to a place where we look at what the Bible says about people's life. We must just kind of accept everybody. And that's why we had a Muslim kill 13 soldiers in Fort Hood, because even though they knew that this was going on, they wouldn't deal with it, and it cost lives of servicemen. Well, this church as of now is not politically correct. And it doesn't break my heart. It's better to be spiritually correct than politically correct. Amen? It's better to say what God says and walk it out and, so to speak, lay the cards on the table so we know what's going on. Because I want to tell you something. If you get your spiritual advice from CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, you know, whatever that NBC is, the other part with a couple letters in front of it, MSABC, NBC, or whatever it is, you're going to get messed up. You're going to get messed up. And what has happened in America with the news media is the fact that they're calling evil good and they're calling good evil. They're taking a stand against anything that has spiritual, Christian, godly values. And you must be careful, because very subtly that will indoctrinate you into believing what they want you to believe. Here's what the Bible says, and you can do with it what you want. I pray that you'll pay attention. The Bible says that when you hear the Word of God and you make up your mind to allow that Word of God come into your life, and you're going to walk it out. You're going to walk it out regardless of ridicule, regardless of criticism, regardless what somebody thinks of you, regardless if you're left alone and nobody's around you, regardless what anybody thinks, and you walk it out, you're considered a wise person. You're considered a wise person who digs the foundation for a house, puts rock in it or whatever you need to put in it, builds a house so that the house is solid. Now, this is more important than just building a house. When you dig the foundation and build your house on the rock, he's talking about you. The good and the bad are going to have storms coming. Say that with me. The good are going to have storms coming. You're going to have a storm in your life, and many of you already had them. But that storm is not going to affect the goodness of your life or your relationship to Jesus Christ. It's not going to blow you over because you're on the rock. That rock is who? Jesus. Jesus said this. He came to his disciples in Matthew 16, and he looked at them. He said, "Who do men say I am?" Very interesting question. And they looked at him and said, "Some say you're John the Baptist." Somebody else said, "Some say that you're Elijah." And then Jesus looked at them and said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Peter, your name is Simon. You will now be Peter. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I will say unto you, I will build upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven." The church of Jesus Christ is built on the rock. The rock is solid. The rock endures the storms. When the building is shaking, the foundation keeps it secure. No matter what comes against us. And as I was traveling this week, going to Brookings, I had on a Christian radio station from the Brookings area, and they were talking about the fact that 11 out of 12 pastors in Baghdad have been executed by the rebels. They were talking about a pastor in another country just taken out before church and shot and killed. I want you to understand something. Precious in the eyes of God are the death of his saints. But also understand that when the storm comes and the ridicule comes and you have to make a choice, will you choose Jesus or will you choose physical life? That God is there in that time and you're not going to be shaken. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And only that which cannot be shaken will remain. But that which is on the rock is not going to be shaken. Storms all around you. You can have peace in the storm, but here's the key. Now, if not before, you must make up your mind. I'm going to walk out this life in Jesus Christ according to his word. I don't care what the news media says. I don't care what President Obama says. I don't care if somebody stands up before the crowd and says, we're not a Christian nation. We may not be, but it's not because the president said we're not a Christian nation. It's because people have chose not to walk out the word of God. And as this nation comes back, a president can be removed. People can get out of office. Things can be happening that once again, and the president can be changed. He could bow his knee to Jesus Christ, and we could see a revival starting in Washington, spreading throughout the Congress, and spreading to Sisseton, South Dakota. But I want you to understand something. It's never going to happen if we as believers turn our back against the word of God and begin to walk the way that we choose to walk. The wise person. The godly person, the man and woman of godly principles. We will speak things into people's lives. We will not back down. We will not hide. We will not run away. We are coming to God, and we know that maybe I won't have everything I want, and I won't be able to do everything I want, but that doesn't matter. You're not living for now. We're living for eternity. We're living for a home that's built with foundations whose builder and maker is God. You cannot have a mindset, I'm going to live for 2009 and 2010. You cannot walk with a mindset, it's all about me and it's all about today. You'll lose. And we need to come to a place where it's about him. I'm going to walk it out. It doesn't matter. I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to study the word of God, and I'm going to walk out the word of God. That's your key. That's your key. Turn with me. I want to read this to you. I read a lot of times at other places, but I want you to hear this in Psalm 61. Take this out and just keep it by you. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Verse 1. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Psalm 91. Don't miss it. Psalm 63 says this. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to the end of the earth. I'm sorry. 62. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. When you are grounded on Jesus Christ, when you are walking out the obedience to the Word of God, when you are standing tall, when the Bible never told you to chase the devil, he just told you to stand. He told you to stand. And when you are standing, and when you're not in a panic mode, and when you understand that things are secure and that you are safe in Jesus Christ, you absolutely radically defeat the purpose of Satan, and his counsel and his strategies will not affect you. It's when you're halfway believing and halfway doing the Word of God and halfway living it out and things come, they'll take you down. They'll take you under. But it's when you're standing tall on the Word of God and you're doing it, you're paying attention to it, you're walking it out, and you're saying to God, I don't care what happens. We're a little bit like Job. Though things would slay me, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to walk it out. Here's the other side of the coin. The foolish man is like the man when he is building a house. He leveled out some sand. He built his house on the sand. And when the wind and the storm came, the house crashed. And great was its fall. It's kind of amazing as you look around. And you see the shaking happening. You see economical shaking. You see physical shaking. You see the storm cloud. You see all the things happening. And America right now, if you listen and if you pay attention, is coming into a panic mode. Everything now is not billions anymore. Everything now is trillions. And I know Kirk is a lot better at this than me, but I heard somebody say on Fox Network, he said, we're talking about 10 or 15 trillion in debt, but if we're really looking at it, we're probably 150 trillion in debt. Now you make up your mind who you're going to trust in this time. Who you're going to listen to. Who you're going to pay attention to. I've been on the phone night after night after night after night. I get a phone call between 9 and 10 every night from northern Minnesota from a kid who was in our youth group when I was pastoring there. He came home the other night and he had 3 sheriffs waiting for him. They handed him some papers. They said, you do not call, you do not text, you do not get in touch with your wife or your daughter. And James didn't listen. He texted and he spent 3 days in jail. Absolutely calling the first night in a panic. Just absolutely. He's being charged with things I just know he wouldn't do because I know the kid. He's not a kid anymore, but I know him. And in a moment, in a heartbeat, and he wasn't living for God. He is now. His world that he had built crumbled. It wasn't built on the rock. The Word of God was absolutely, powerfully true in Jim's life. It's turning. First thing I said is, Jim, you need to go see Pastor Hardika. How many remember Terry Hardika when he came here? Terry lives in the town. I said, you need to go see Terry. Terry will lead you down a right path. And I gave him some other advice because I've been through it a few times with other people. He called me back Friday night. just a different guy. Different attitude, different mindset. He said, Pastor, I want to confess some things to you. And I said, you don't really have to. He said, I got to. For a while, he just started talking. But he's back on the rock. His life is different now than it was. And almost invariably, every week or every other day, we get a call from people who don't come to church here. But they say, this is happening. This is happening. What's the first thing I do? The first thing you do is get on the rock. First thing you do is come back to a place where you're standing in Jesus, where you're walking it out in Jesus. It doesn't make us immune from difficulties. It doesn't make us immune from problems. But it gives you the fortress and the refuge and the shelter that you need when you're being attacked. As we sit here, you know in your heart. You know in your heart. Am I paying attention to the Word of God? Am I walking it out? You know, the most unsafe place to be in your life is a place where you think, right now I don't need God. The most unsafe place to be is in a place where you think you can go through it on your own, that you've reached a place of happiness, and you've reached a place of this, and you've reached a place of somewhere, I just don't need God. I got it all together. I got it all planned out. I got everything going. Get your eyes off Jesus. You're right in the crosshairs of Satan's weapon. He's going to pull the trigger. God has blessed many of you. Every one of you. Now it's time that we walk it out according to His Word. Every one of you sitting here this morning, you have a mission. God has designed your life as you let Him. He has put it together as you let Him. He's going to lead you. He's going to walk it out in your life. And you choose. You choose. Am I going to hear? Am I going to do? I can't just be a hearer of the Word. I need to be a doer of the Word. I can't just simply look at this and say, not for me. Now's not the time to get careless. Now's not the time to get your eyes on what I want and what I don't have and what I think I need. Now's not the time just to be economically based and everything's about money. Now's the time everything's about Jesus. Everything's about God. And if you're not there, you're either very brave or very foolish or both. We're coming to D-Day. We're coming to D-Day in your spiritual walk. And it's your choice. It's my choice. And all I can do is say, folks, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end result is death. And there's a way now that seems so far off base with man, but the end result of that way in God is life everlasting. You choose if you're going to walk it out. You make the decision. Because there is shaking. There's shaking happening. It's not going to stop. But if you're not living your life totally for Jesus Christ, you're in a very precarious position. And you're going to topple. And great will be the fall. But let me encourage you. There's a place of safety in Christ. There's a place of protection. There's a place so everything around us may be shaken. That rock, Christ Jesus, can never be shaken. And I am safe. Amen?